from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Good morning. Hello. Good morning. Good morning. Happy Wednesday, everybody. I'm Kyle Madsen. That's James Hamm. We're hanging out with you until noon. Already on ESPN 1320, Sacramento sports leader, and we have a ton to get to today. The Kings blow out the Pistons. Kind of weirdest blowout I think I've ever seen.
Yes.
131 to 110. You know what? I'm not even going to call it a blowout. It was a lopsided score. I'm not calling that. It can't be a blowout when it was tied with like 8 minutes to go. I'm sorry.
Kyle,
I can't get there.
I don't know if it can be a blowout when you give a 47 points in the first quarter to a three-win team. That's what I meant. Three-team win. Wow.
That's like a three-way trade where every team comes out on the right side.
Yes.
Yeah, 131 to 110. And, man, you know, I texted you during the game. They gave up 47 to the Pistons in the first quarter. And because it's the Pistons, we were talking during the game, and I said, I'm giving them another quarter before I call this a clown show. Because that's like the ultimate, like when I'm done with the thing, that's what it is. And I was like, I'm giving them another quarter because this is the Pistons. They're dreadful. And then sure enough, end of the second quarter, Kings up 3. And eventually they go on to win by 21. It's a weird vibe for this game because they blew out on the scoreboard a terrible Pistons team.
Yes.
But so many of the issues that we've seen them have this year in these types of games were present. It was like the duality of the Kings was just on full display. In the first quarter and the third quarter, they are down. What were they down? 18 after the first quarter?
Something like that.
I think they were down 18 after the first quarter. And then they tied the Pistons in the third quarter. So they were a minus 18 in those two quarters, but then a plus whatever it is to win by 21 over the other two quarters.
Well, Kyle,
it's a plus 39.
Hey, they opened the third quarter on a 15-3 run. They just punched them right in the face, and the game should have been over.
Yeah,
and then they stopped.
And they clawed back in. The Pistons did.
Yeah,
And you see, the Pistons are ready on a night-in, night-out basis. The Pistons are ready. We talk about this phrase all the time. Like, this is phrase of the year for the Kings. Let go of the rope, right?
Yep.
You see the Pistons do that night-in and night-out, and they did it in the third quarter, and the Kings let them grab it again.
Yes.
And we talked on yesterday's show, these are NBA players. You can't take them for granted. You gotta step on their necks, and you got to blow them out. Like,
yep.
Don't give them hope. And it looked like they were on their way to doing that. And if they had just taken control in the third quarter and won by 21, then okay, great. You had a bad first half, but you came back, you throttled them. But you can't even say that. they really pulled away in the final, like I said, 8-9 minutes.
Yeah, Kyle, the concern I have is Domantas Sabonis, because of the way that game went, had to play 38 minutes last night, the first night of a back-to-back. Keegan Murray played 34 minutes and 40 seconds. De'Aaron Fox, who needs a break as bad as any player I've seen,
rough.
33 minutes and 18 seconds. Kevin Herter even played 29 minutes. Trey Lyles played 32 minutes. Malik Monk, 28 minutes. Like, that is not what you needed on the front side of a back-to-back. And it's because you just let off the gas in the third quarter. Like, what were you doing?
You brought up De'Aaron Fox, and I don't want to harp on the Fox thing because it's not like I feel no differently about him as a player. He's had a couple of rough games, though.
Yeah.
And he earned a couple of bad nights. But it's reached the point now. He had 4 turnovers in the first quarter. In the first quarter, he had 4 turnovers. All right?
Yeah.
Going into last night, he had 6 games with 4 or more turnovers.
Oof.
He has had so many outings this year where he hasn't reached that number in his entire night, and he did it in the first quarter. And then he has the breakaway dunk where the ball flew out of his hands.
Full on Space Jam. Full on, like someone took the basketball player out of him.
It was
just like what just happened? You just got space jammed.
It's so rare that something happens on a basketball court where I go, I could do that. I could 100% do that.
Oh, yeah.
You need me to grab a ball and throw it in the air? I got you. That play really, it's not just because of that play, but that play encapsulates everything we talked about yesterday with Fox. Like, man, he is just not right now.
Yeah, I'm going to say this. I think physically, the last 3 or 4 games, he didn't look right. Last night, he started to look right physically, but you can tell that he's mentally exhausted as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, these guys are, like, when you're averaging 30 a game forever, and I think there's a little bit of a letdown that he knows that he's dropped down to like 28 now and that he's taken a step back.
Mm-hmm.
But I also feel like there's an issue with that where it's kind of a letdown for him as well because he wants to be an all-NBA player. He wants these things. And so maybe mentally he's needing a break as well. Physically, you can see it was like the struggle is real last week, like straight legged, like really struggling to get upstairs. I think he's fought through that. I think his body has fought through, but that doesn't mean that the mind and the body are together. And I think late in the game, sure, he showed up and he started to look like himself.
Yeah.
And that's what you're hoping for, that he slowly starts to come right back.
Gets it going again. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, ideally, like, look, and we're going to talk about this. A win is a win is a win. They're 8 games over 500 now. That's great. But those issues persist on a night where you would hope, man, this team has not had a night where they just, hey, up 30 in the fourth quarter, Domas, Fox, Keegan all sit. You would hope that they would, and this is, I guess, my frustration with them, is you would hope that this team that has suffered so many bad losses this year, so many inexplicable performances, would go out against a 3-win Detroit team. 3 wins. And go, hey, we are putting the screws to this team and we're going to dominate start to finish. You're not going to have a problem getting up for a bad team. It's nothing like that. Just go out and smoke these guys. Show that, hey, we're not going to get in the realm of that bad loss again. And then they give up 47 points in the first quarter. And they let Detroit tie the game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
The turnaround is great. You love to see the fight. You love to see them not punting a road game in Detroit to start the road trip. That would have been a brutal vibe and a brutal look if you go into Little Caesars Arena and lose that game. So you definitely prefer to win, but the way they went about it, and maybe I'm being picky, maybe my standard is too high, but the way they went about that win last night was not as satisfactory as I thought we were going to see.
Yeah. Well, I think the problem is that you see the light switch that turns on and off with this team.
Yeah.
And so sometimes the problem is they can't figure out how to get the light switch to turn on.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so we've seen that too many times.
Mm-hmm.
And then other games where the light switch is like crazy on the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And then other games where halfway through the game, the light switch comes on and you're like, oh, okay, they're fine.
Yeah.
We saw it in Atlanta. We saw it now in Detroit. So we now have like three different versions of the team. We have the really bad version, the really good version, and then the half bad, half good version. And I again, I, you know, we can say, hey, you almost lost to a 3-win team. Hey, this team lost to the Charlotte Hornets, who now have 8 wins. One of those wins is Sacramento Kings.
Yeah.
They lost to the Portland Trailblazers, who have 10 wins. One of those wins is against the Sacramento Kings. If they take just those two games where they didn't walk in and stomp on somebody that they should have, you're 12 games over 500.
Man.
That's the difference. And it's rough, but that's where this team, you know, two games like that matter. Right now, they would be the fourth seed. They would be, again, they'd only be like two games out of first place. But, hey, shoulda, coulda, woulda. Like, that's, you got to find a way to be more consistent and to step up in moments where, you know, you're tired or you know, somebody else doesn't have it that night. Somebody has to step up.
Last thing on this before we get to the Pascal Siakam update from Sam Amick today in The Athletic. The Pistons stink. Holy cow. They are so bad.
They're like Bojan Bogdanovic and nothing else.
And that's bad.
Yeah. He's like...
Their problem is they have all these young dudes. First of all, their problem is... Kyle Draper and Katie Christensen were talking about this on the broadcast last night. The Pistons' backup center situation is basically James Wiseman v. Marvin Bagley for minutes.
Oh,
and right now, James Wiseman is winning.
Yeah.
And James Wiseman is awful. It's a bunch of young players. Like, you love, okay, you're accumulating young talent. Like, Kevin Knox is still young, and it's Asar Thompson, and it's Jaden Ivey. The problem is all those guys are out there trying to get their own. Nobody's playing within any kind of system. It's like, yeah, hey, you go one-on-one. Okay, now it's my turn to go one-on-one. Okay, now he's going to go one-on-one.
That's the problem with young players, man. They all come into the league thinking they're going to be the next big thing.
How many drives did the Pistons have last night where they'd break down the first defender and they'd get in the paint, like, I'm going to score, and then the Kings would collapse and they'd have no plan? The Kings got so many buckets off the Pistons just throwing the ball.
It's just wild.
It's good. No, it's good. I mean, it's a good adjustment by the Kings to create offense out of Detroit's bad offense.
I totally agree.
They were just atrocious. Pascal Siakam update from Sam Amick. We'll also have James' 6 quick thoughts on this game. We'll dive a little bit further into Kings Pistons. Again, Kings 131, Pistons 110. Although if you're listening to this program, I'm sure you already know that. Sam Amick in The Athletic today published a piece that detailed what he knows about Pascal Siakam, what he knows about the Lakers and Warriors coaching situations. But here's what he said about Pascal Siakam. A couple quotes, and then I'll let you kind of react.
Yeah.
This much is clear. Siakam would not be excited if he were traded to Sacramento. That's one thing that Amick wrote. Another thing, according to two league sources, the Kings should have very little, if any, optimism regarding the prospect of Siakam re-signing in the summer if they were to land him. And then the last thing, I'll paraphrase here, Siakam seeking a full-term max salary deal no matter where he ultimately lands. And that he doesn't view the Kings as a good long-term fit if the Raptors choose to move on. That, to me, closes the door entirely.
It's done.
It's just not even from... Because, like you noted this yesterday, the Kings could still trade for him. The Kings could still put together a package that the Raptors go, great, yeah, we'll take it. But it doesn't... Now, from the Kings' standpoint, like, forget building a trade package. If that's the case, if what Sam Amick is reporting here is the case, that Siakam's like, nah, I don't see it. That's just not worth the risk. The juice is not worth the squeeze there. If not only do you have to convince this guy to stay in your city and stay with your team, but then to do it, it's also going to cost you the supermax?
Yeah, that's what you really have to start considering how your long-term team build is going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's nearly impossible if that's his stance.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a reason why he's not already locked up into a long-term deal. Although, like, look, I think Toronto's playing really well right now. Mm-hmm. Maybe he is the guy that ushers his team to the next generation of Raptors. And he's sort of the senior statesman that stays with them.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a hot mess. And the best thing for the Kings to do is do exactly what they did with the Ben Simmons deal a couple of years ago.
Yep.
When you realize that it's a hot mess, you get away from it as quickly as possible, and you go find somewhere else to make your trades.
Yep. We will talk more about this and why this is the right thing to do, because financially, like you said, this becomes a mess for the Kings. We'll dive into that. But first, we got to get to James' thoughts on the game last night. Six quick thoughts coming up next on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento Sports Leader. Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Kings 131, Pistons 110. Maybe a little uglier than the Kings might have liked, but you walked out of Detroit with a 21-point win. Now you go to Charlotte tonight. We will dive into that Kings-Hornets game, the second night of a back-to-back, trying to get revenge on a Hornets team that came into your building and won.
Mm-hmm.
So we will dive into all of that. But before we talk Hornets, before we talk Pascal Siakam update, before I tell you about the seven Kings wins you meet in heaven, I can't wait to dive into that.
Oh, yeah.
We have to get to six quick thoughts with our guy, James Hamm.
How'd yesterday's Kings game go? Kings insider James Hamm has six notes you need to know. Here are James Hamm's six quick thoughts.
Gets better every time.
Oh, I love it.
If you're unfamiliar after every single Kings game... Oh, no! Ah! My buttons went away.
Uh-oh.
I can't ding you into your next point.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. So if you're unfamiliar with the program, after every single Kings game, James will tweet out his six quick thoughts. And I said, hey, we should talk about those on the radio. So... Oh, thank God they're done. Oh. We said, hey, we should talk about those on the radio. So that's what we do. James, your first quick thought from last night's Kings game.
Gave him a chance. Everyone else kind of walked into that game not knowing what in the world they were doing and played poorly. Domantas Sabonis backpacked this team.
Mm-hmm.
While the rest of the guys were figuring it out, he at least kept them within 30. And like, in all honesty, when you give up 47 and a quarter, you're lucky if you're not down 30.
Yep.
And the fact that he finished a game with 37 points, 10 rebounds, 13 assists, 3 steals, his 9th triple-double of the season, which puts him just 2 behind Nikola Jokic for the lead in the NBA. He's got, 19 straight double-doubles. This guy is playing out of his mind. He's over 20 points a game. He's just been amazing. And in this game, if it wasn't for him, this was a 40-point blowout the wrong way.
Yeah, 7 of 8 in the first quarter, 15 points. He was a minus 16, but that's because of everything else that was going on around him. I love that he took over the way he did in the first quarter last night. Very clear the Kings had nothing going. It was also very clear Detroit had nobody who could defend him, and so he was taking it into the low block. He was shoving his way to the rim, made a couple of nice little spin moves in the post, showed off some post moves, showed off some good footwork, and had 15 first quarter points, and I'm right there with you, man. Even if he has 9 points, it's a good quarter. If he doesn't have 9 points, they're getting smoked in this game, I think. So
totally.
Shout out to Domas. Really good game for him. Number two.
He brought it. Sabonis kept them afloat, mm-hmm. but the moment that Malik Monk stepped on the court, you could tell that this was not the Charlotte game. He was ready. He was energetic. He got his teammates involved. He finished with 20 points, 8 assists. Nine assists. Boy, I messed that up. Sorry. Sorry, piece of paper.
I'm just trying to make sure Malik gets his credit. That's all.
Yeah. I correct that as I'm going through the end of the game. But yeah, Malik Monk, absolutely tremendous as the number two guy in this game.
He's the most important player, man. I think you see it in a game
Change
like
the
last
energy,
night.
For sure.
Yeah,
yes.
They needed a bucket. He's getting to the rack. He hit a big three late in that game. I think that he hit a three that put them up 9. Late or early in the fourth quarter, and that was when the wheels really came off for Detroit and the Kings started to pull away. So I mean, Malik is excellent, and when he's as good as he was last night, the Kings are really hard to beat. Number three.
I totally agree. Takeover. Sabonis kept him afloat. Monk gave him the big boost. It was Keegan Murray who shook off a slow start. You know he loves to go up against Jaden Ivey. Of course, Jaden Ivey got to be in the photo array with the top four picks, even though Keegan Murray was a fourth pick and he was a fifth. There's been some disrespect there with the way that Detroit handled themselves when they drafted, when Keegan Murray was drafted number four and Jaden Ivey dropped to them. It feels good to like light them up, and 32 points, 5 rebounds, 2 blocks. Huge night for Keegan Murray.
13 of 17 from the floor, and all 4 of his misses were from 3.
Ooh, and they was all
perfect,
early.
He was a perfect 12 for 12 from 2.
Yeah. His they keep setting his dunks at 0.5.
Wait, that's not right. Hang on. That's not right. Keep going. Sorry.
They keep setting his dunks
eight
at 0.5 on Price Picks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's one game I can remember where he didn't get at least one dunk.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a winner.
No, I thought he did a great job last night. Obviously, the three-point shots are going to fall sometimes and sometimes they're not. But getting to his spots, and when he's doing that consistently, you see him have games like last night where he has 32 points.
Mm-hmm.
He is tall enough to get to his spot and basically get his jumper wherever he wants. And when he's doing that, even in the mid-range, like, there's all this talk about the mid-range is a bad shot. The mid-range is only a bad shot if you don't make it. And if you can hit a mid-range shot at a high clip, you should be taking them. Keegan can, and when he's getting to that mid-range, when he's knocking down threes, you just mentioned it.
He gets
to the rack, smart cutter. He's a really, really hard guard, and I think you saw it last night.
I totally agree. He's coming into his own, and this is a good thing.
Yep, number 4.
Space Jammed. De'Aaron Fox did not look like himself.
Oh.
It fully looked like someone just pulled the basketball player right out of him. He figured it out. He found himself. Yeah. But those 4 turnovers early, the 5 turnovers for the game, the 1 turnover where he literally blew a fast break layup or dunk and just threw the ball up in the air, like, that's just not De'Aaron Fox.
Inexplicable.
Yeah, the mental focus, he's struggling a little bit, but he'll be all right.
Yeah, yeah. I think they need to get into a big game. They've got Milwaukee coming up. They have Phoenix coming up. And what's the other one on this trip? Philly.
Philly's the next one after tonight.
I think you see a more dialed-in De'Aaron Fox in a couple, if not all, of those games.
Yeah.
Also, super encouraging. 4 of 6 from the floor, 2 of 3 from beyond the arc with 10 points in the fourth quarter.
Okay.
Didn't put up any other stats, but got going offensively, confidently. He missed a 3, and then on the next possession came down and got a look from the left wing. He had all day. He sets his feet, took a rhythm dribble, and then shot it.
Yeah.
And I was so worried because he started to, he caught it on the wing, and it looked like he was going to put it on the deck and drive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, dude, that was going to be worrying if he stopped confidently taking those 3. So I love that he took a little rhythm dribble, knocked down a 3, and had a really good fourth quarter. All right, number 5.
Number 5, a different kind of trade day. Lyles missed last game with an ankle injury. And this one, I think people may have missed that the Kings were getting dominated on the rebounding numbers in the first quarter. And then they end up blowing out the Pistons in the rebound number. A lot of that was Trey Lyles.
Mm-hmm.
Trey Lyles sensed what his team needed. He hit a couple of 3s, but the 8 rebounds. Trey Lyles ran a plus 31 in 24-25 minutes last night.
Man.
Like, he was super impactful.
He played 11 minutes in the fourth quarter and was a plus 16. He recorded 1 rebound, and that's the only thing he did in the box score.
Oof.
Like, he's being impactful without having to put the ball in the hoop.
Yeah.
He's doing a good job defensively. You mentioned the rebounds throughout the game. He finished the game with 8.
He took charges.
I think two. Took a couple charges.
Yeah.
In key spots as well.
Yes.
I'm super impressed with what Trey Lyles has done. Not necessarily offensively, because you know what he brings to the team offensively.
Mm-hmm.
But more and more you're starting to see defensively, just knowing he's not a super athletic defender or anything like that. You're not comfortable, you know, throwing him on Steph Curry or whatever. But gets to the right spots, willing to take a charge, smart player. I am here for any and all Trey Lyles minutes.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of watching Trey Lyles play basketball. He's just impactful.
Number 6, last one.
Rotational shift. Mike Brown started Kevin Huerter, which we sort of predicted here yesterday that might be happening. Juan Toscano-Anderson, which I did not see that coming. Keon Ellis, Alex Len. Again, these are all things that we had discussed yesterday that might be like the pulse of this team. Mm-hmm. Is they, those guys that had 5 or 6 games to make their mark, they hadn't, and Mike Brown moved on.
Yeah, and I think that's what we're going to continue seeing. I want to talk about JTA a little bit and that rotation stuff. Let's dig into that next, and then we'll get into the Pascal Siakam news from Sam Amick this morning. That's all coming up next on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
That is. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Wherever you're listening from, maybe you're listening on the radio, maybe you're listening on the free Odyssey app. Perhaps you're on YouTube at youtube.com/ESPN1320. Maybe you're at Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Maybe you're watching on Twitter, X. I hate that. It's Twitter.
It is Twitter.
That's it. It's Twitter. Or X. Whatever you call it, if you're watching on that, shout out. Thank you. Juan Toscano-Anderson played last night for the Kings. And not like mop-up duty, garbage time. Like, they were getting smoked, and they needed a little spark. Mm-hmm. And Mike Brown actually talked about that after the game, why he went to JTA, who first game back with the Kings since getting cut or released or waived or whatever.
He got waived on Sunday so he could clear waivers before the January 10th deadline to waive players before his money became guaranteed.
Right.
And then they signed him to a 10-day contract.
Right.
Yep.
So he was in uniform for the first time last night. Here's Mike Brown on why he went to JTA.
For sure. Juan, I mean, he just got back in uniform, I think, tonight before the game. And so I didn't plan on playing him. I just thought we needed a little jolt of energy. I thought we needed something defensively. We needed guys that would fly around. And so I called Juan's number. That's what he does.
Yeah, man. And I thought he did that, honestly. Like, if every, I know that JTA is not, he's a fringe NBA player.
Yes.
He is. From offensively, defensively, he is a end of the bench guy. Good, great person, great locker room guy.
Yes.
Everybody appears to love him on whatever team he's ever been on. And that's great. But he's not a player that, if we talked yesterday, if the Kings started the playoffs today, what would their playoff rotation look like? Juan's not in it. God love him.
Yeah.
But I think he has immense value because of what Mike Brown just said. On a night where the Kings, once again, mind you, looks sluggish and out of sorts and not playing with a lot of energy, JTA is going to at least give you that every minute he's on the floor. Every minute Juan Toscano-Anderson is on the floor, you're never going to be like, man, it felt like JTA just wasn't out there tonight. Like, no, you're going to see him. It might not always be great.
The good or the bad, you're going to see.
He might get beat offensively.
Yep.
Or defensively. He might not make a ton of shots offensively. He might have a turnover here and there. But he is going to bust his ass. And frankly, sometimes, and this is the frustration with the Kings, for me, is they are, if every player on their roster approached every minute they were on the floor the way Juan Toscano-Anderson does, they wouldn't have nights like last night's first quarter. They wouldn't lose to Charlotte. They wouldn't lose to Portland. And that I think, shows last night specifically, and JTA being brought into the game and providing that just little spark, that little hustle, that little energy where people go, okay, I need to match that. I think that matters a lot. And I commend Mike Brown for having the guts and the willingness to be like, all right, hey, this guy on a 10-day just suited up tonight. Get in there. And that's why he's here.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a shot across the bow for some of the other players. Like, look, that's what we're expecting.
Yeah.
Right? But I also think, here's the but. I think that Keon Ellis does that exact same thing. And strangely enough, for a guy who's a two-way player who's in, you know, his second NBA season, he does it at a more refined level.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's a better three-point shooter. He plays within the flow of the offense better. Like, there are things that you can do. Like, for me, there were times last night where Juan Toscano-Anderson looked like that, the, like, blow-up thing outside of the Tire Center. You know, the thing with the waving arms.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. He brought energy. He's there to do whatever Mike Brown wants him to do. He's a Mike Brown guy, and I respect that.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that last season we saw the same exact thing. This team held on to Matthew Dellavedova because of this same thing. Like, when he does get in the game, he shows you what a pro who wants to be in the league, who's fought to stay in the league, looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And that, for me, is good. But at the same time, like, I think this team has other players that can do it. It's just, like, how many minutes are you going to give him? I don't think, you know, if we're sitting here for the next four games and he's playing, you know, 15, 16 minutes a night, I'm not sure what your plan is, because he's a 10-day contract.
I don't think that's the thing, though, is I don't think that's going to be the case. I think it was very much last night. They gave up 47 freaking points in the first quarter.
Oh, yeah.
And they had nothing for Detroit. They had nothing.
That's wild.
And so Mike Brown went, hey, all right, here's this guy. Like, I would be... not stunned, but I'd be a little bit surprised if they just went back to JTA tonight, especially if Sacramento's up, you know, up in the first quarter, or it's even in the first quarter and they're just kind of going back and forth. I don't think it's like, okay, hey, JTA's the guy now.
Yeah.
But last night they needed something. And that's something that, frankly, Mike Brown has done all year. He's not hesitated to move things around and put players in different spots. That's like how Keon Ellis got first put into the rotation.
No, totally. I think that's the good thing that I've seen with Mike Brown. It's a merit-based system.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing someone's going to say, well, what about Harrison Barnes then? And it's, I can honestly say, I don't have the answer for why Harrison Barnes plays a, you know, 33 minutes in a game where he doesn't have any rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
But you started to see last night, if Mike Brown has other options that he feels comfortable with, maybe he won't play Harrison Barnes all those minutes. And that's, again, that's what we saw last night. Harrison Barnes only played, what, 14 minutes?
Yep.
And in those 14 minutes, 0 of 1 from the field, 0 of 2 from the free throw line, 1 rebound, 1 assist, 0 points. That cannot be what they're getting. And like, to be frank, that's why they're looking for a different player.
Mm-hmm.
Because the consistency, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
It's consistently not good.
Mm-hmm.
And so at some point, you know, I'm going to give... like, you know, I'm going to give Harrison a little sliver of a, okay, maybe you are distracted because everyone and their dog is talking about how you're about to get traded.
Mm-hmm. And that, when dogs start talking, it's like hard to play basketball.
Yeah, it is. It's like everyone is barking It's out there, Kyle. It's everywhere that you're about to get traded.
Yeah.
That you were the centerpiece of Pascal Siakam deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't feel good to think, okay, tomorrow I could be playing in Canada, 3,000 miles away with my family here.
Yeah.
That doesn't feel good. And so maybe that's part of this.
And on top of that, imagine going to your job and you sit down to work, or you do whatever you do to work, and your boss goes, hey, FYI, we're thinking about trying to replace you. So
everyone,
do good work.
Everyone knows that they might be trying to replace you, including you.
Yeah.
Like, and they've communicated that to you.
And on top of that, you haven't been playing particularly well.
Yes.
So I get it 100%, but the counter to that sliver of grace that you're giving Harrison Barnes is like, yeah, it's your job. Like, that's a little bit part of this, dude.
Yes, I agree. You got $17 million filling up your bank account this year.
Yeah.
It's part of that job.
And 15% more if you get traded.
15%
FYI.
Trade kicker. And the 15% is on the entirety of the money.
Yeah, not just what he has left, not just this year.
No,
yeah.
No. It's what he has left this year, all of what he has left next year,
yeah,
and all of what he has left the year after that. That $19 million, a 15% bump on $19 million is, what, $2.7 million.
In case anybody high up at Odyssey is listening, I would take 15% of $19 million.
Yes.
Please.
Yes.
Thanks.
And that's
just going to be my opening if I ever get to negotiate.
There it is.
It's going to be my opening.
I'm going to guess, like, his 15% trade kicker is worth about $6.5 to $7 million.
Jeez. I'd take it.
Yeah. Not going to say no.
No. But to your point, it's also very difficult to go out and play well when, and focus and lock in when you know that the team you're playing with is trying to get you out of there. And not just for Pascal Siakam. It wasn't like, hey, you know what? This is a one-time opportunity. You're here now. Like, we got you. This is all right, well, hey, move on to the next deal.
Yeah, and I want to, there's a question in the chat. And
yeah.
Maybe I just hit the wrong one. Herter got benched. Why not Barnes? There's a pretty simple answer there, Kyle. Because you don't have a replacement for Harrison Barnes.
Yeah, there's no.
There
Chris
is no.
Duarte.
Yeah, there is no Chris Duarte. There were other options for Kevin Herter. And I would even say, like, Kevin Herter, as much as it's been his shooting issues, it really became his defensive issues that sent him to the bench. And while Harrison Barnes isn't a great defender, he realistically, there are nights where he gets cooked. There are also other nights where you don't remember him or the guy he was playing against because he did a really solid job and he stuck with this guy.
Yeah, and they're confident saying, hey, go check Paolo Banchero full court.
Yeah.
Like that's something that they can do with him. He can't necessarily do that with Kevin Herter. Kevin Herter, by the way, last night, 2 of 11 from the field.
Yeah.
0 for 6 from 3.
But
4 points. Five boards, 5 assists, though.
He played hard.
Yes.
He played defense.
Yes.
He had the big block.
Yeah. And you notice him on the court.
Yes. Yes. So, you're not going to, every night's not going to be a great shooting night.
All he has to do is take off the damn headband. It's not difficult. Like, people, oh man, why isn't he shooting? Is it the trade? Is it you were noticing a hitch in his motion? No, man. Lose the headband. Get rid of it. That's it. Like, it's not hard. He does that. He's going 4 for 6 from 3. Book
it. Yes. Well, the other thing I'm going to point, like, a lot of people say, hey, Trey Lyles can move into the starting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to kick back again and say the switchability of Keegan Murray and Harrison Barnes as a front court pairing, there's no comparison when you add, like, Trey Lyles does not have the switchability. He cannot guard multiple positions unless we're talking about the 4 and the 5.
Right.
Like Harrison Barnes can at the 3 and the 4. And that's just, it's a reality. Harrison Barnes has been a small forward his entire career. The fact that Keegan Murray can play the 3 as well gives you a switching combination at the forward position that Trey Lyles just doesn't give you. And I am one of the biggest, like, advocates of Trey Lyles getting more minutes that you're going to see, because I think he's a really good ball player, but I also really like what Trey Lyles brings off the bench.
Yeah, I don't. You said this yesterday about Kevin Herter, or specifically the shooting guard position. It's not about who starts; it's about minutes.
Yeah, and like Malik Monk is your guy.
Right, Malik Monk's playing 28 minutes. Trey Lyles last night played 32 minutes compared to 14 for Harrison Barnes.
Yeah.
Where those minutes come, I don't care. As long as Trey Lyles is playing more minutes and closing games and doing all that, then great.
Yeah.
I think the starting lineup tweak, the real meaningful starting lineup tweak, because, okay, remove Harrison Barnes and put Trey Lyles into the starting lineup, I don't think you're going to see a meaningful change for the Kings. I don't. Maybe they start a little faster, so maybe they avoid getting blown out like this. Like they have this year.
Yeah.
Maybe. Sure.
I'll tell you, he's a much better rebounder.
Yeah.
Like, there's no question. He's a much better rebounder.
The bar's not high.
And he's a much more willing passer than Harrison Barnes. And mm-hmm. Harrison Barnes isn't touching the ball enough to really, like, I just remember the first two possessions of the game, I tweeted out, Harrison Barnes was super aggressive. The first thing he did, he took a guy off the dribble, he fired it to the corner for a wide open three, mm-hmm. and somebody broke the wide open three. That was the first play. The second play, he took it right to the rim, and he got fouled. He went to the free throw line, missed both, mm-hmm. which is stunning. I mean, this is a career 80% free throw shooter. He's the guy that you usually have take all your technicals.
Mm-hmm.
He goes 0 for 2 early in the game, and it set the tone. Yeah. Like, the tone was set right there. Like, the missed three is like a downer. Two missed free throws in the first 2 minutes of a game is like, what is happening?
Mm-hmm.
And then next thing you know, you're down, you gave up 47 points. And I'm not putting it all on Harrison Barnes, but
no.
Like, the aggressive play early in the game was like, okay, there he is.
Mm-hmm.
And then nothing.
That's the whole thing with Harrison Barnes right there.
He had got to halftime and was zeros across the board, including 0 of 2 from the free throw line, and had not taken a shot, an official shot, with one assist. That's the only stat he had at halftime. Pretty stunning.
Didn't get a lot better in the second half.
Yeah.
By the way. Yeah, I'm with you. They don't have a replacement for Harrison Barnes, and that's why he's going to continue starting, but that's also why they're trying to make a trade.
Yes.
And whoever they trade for, whether it's a name everybody's heard of or more of a, I don't want to say, I don't mean like mid-level, like MLE guy.
Yeah.
Mid-level exception guy. And like a mid-tier NBA player. That's what they're looking to upgrade. So I think whenever they do make a move, because I think they will, it's going to meaningfully impact their starting lineup.
How big
it meaningfully impacts it, I don't know. Whether it's a 2% upgrade or a 40% upgrade, I don't know. But that's when I think you'll see a change in the starting five.
Yeah. I mean, they have to have someone else to put in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, that's at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're going to make a move, it's because you have someone who's, like, noticeably better and markedly better, and you mm-hmm. can put out there and know that you're going to improve the position.
Yeah, and particularly with Trey Lyles, for a long time I've pushed back a little bit on the idea of, like, well, you need this coming off the bench, but I think they do with Malik Monk and Trey Lyles specifically. Like, having that second unit to bail out the first unit when they don't play well is great.
Yes.
If the first unit doesn't play well, and then you're bringing Harrison Barnes off the bench, like, oh boy. Like, things could get out of hand. So I'm...
Maybe with more opportunity, he would be fine.
Like, maybe.
And again, I'm totally fine if Harrison Barnes is your reserve 3-4. Like, but the fact is, you need to find someone who can improve the rest of the lineup.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be a really interesting couple of weeks, because, like, look, the Kings intend to make moves. They're not trying to sit here.
Yep.
I mean, they went as far as you could go pretty much without landing Pascal Siakam this last week.
Yep.
And we're going to see more of that in the coming weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. We talked about some lineup tweaks yesterday. Every single one you brought up happened. Well done by you.
I will honestly tell you, I had no idea that they were going to do those. It's one of those feelings you get, like, with it, when you've been around a coach for long enough,
mm-hmm.
you start to understand where they're going on most times. When you see Keon Ellis have a nice night, when you see Alex Len again make an impact in his minutes, and when you see Kevin Huerter start to wake up. Like, look, this team needs Kevin Huerter. They do. I mean, until there's someone better, the Kings need Kevin Huerter.
It is a major... This is a major reason for their offensive step backwards, I guess.
Oh, totally.
Is Kevin Huerter.
Yeah.
That's not to put it all on him, but you had a player in Kevin Huerter last year who was just so dangerous from beyond the arc. And a player that, man, when he got open, you got teams scrambling and he is affecting defenses. There is a gravitational pull when he gets the dribble handoff and he gets behind Domantas Sabonis. It's like, oh God, we gotta get out there. And this year it's just not there. And when you're losing, he was 15 points a game last year. He's at 10, 9.8 this year. Whew. That's like
for a guy who was your third leading scorer last year.
5.4 fewer points per game.
It's really wild the step back he's taken. But at the same time, you've seen Keegan Murray take that step forward. You've seen De'Aaron Fox take a major step forward. To be honest, at this point, you're seeing like Domantas Sabonis take a step forward.
Yeah.
He went over 20 points per game
2 weeks
last night. He went to 20.1 points per game. And you're seeing him kind of start to figure things out too. So, yeah. I mean, look, this team is all over the board, but they're still 8 games over 500. They're still moving the right direction, even if it's, you know, 2 steps forward, 1 step back.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to get the numbers here for Domantas Sabonis. In his last 13 games, so since December 16th, I just clicked a game.
Yeah.
That's where those 23 points, 13 boards, 9 assists. It's pretty good.
Yeah, he's playing out of his mind right now.
65.7% from the field.
Yeah, for the season, he's at 20.1, 12.8 rebounds, which leads the NBA, and 7.8 assists. Those assist numbers continue to climb, that's wild. For his assist numbers to get up to 7.8,
man.
Like, we're talking, like, really, really, really good point guard numbers to go with the league's leading rebounder.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, he just continues to improve. He's shooting 39% from three, 60% from the field. We're shooting. Keegan Murray's all the way up to 37% shooting from three all of a sudden. Harrison Barnes, like, for as much as people want to say, hey, I don't know about Harrison Barnes, he's shooting 41% from three.
Yeah, no, when he takes them, he makes them, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
But you going to start drawing up plays for Harrison Barnes?
Yeah, it's tough.
Maybe that's the key. Maybe get Harrison Barnes going by kicking him the ball in the corner more often. I don't know.
Yeah, you got to find some way to get him more involved. I think it's pretty stunning to see that Trey Lyles is all the way up to 40.7% from three. This team is really shooting the ball well over the last couple of weeks, and you're starting to see their numbers really start to jump up. They're up to 12th in the league in three-point percentage at 37.2. Remember when they were like second in three-point attempts and second in three-point makes, but they were shooting, I mean, they were like 22nd in three-point percentage. We're starting to see the positive steps forward.
Yeah, the progression.
Yeah.
I hate the term positive regression. That doesn't exist. Regression is going backwards.
Yes.
Progression is the opposite of regression.
Yes.
You don't say positive regression.
Hmm.
If a player averages 20 points a game for their career, and then they start the season in the first month, they're scoring 10 points a game, and then they start scoring 30 a game, and somebody goes, man, is he a 30-point-per-game scorer? You go, no, he's progressing to the mean.
Yes.
Not, there's a positive regression happening. It really sticks. It's a thing that doesn't matter that sticks in my craw. There's a lot of those. So I just want to get some applause here for James Hamm. You had Keon Ellis getting back in the rotation. Only played 4 minutes last night.
Yeah, but he was one of the first dudes off the bench.
One of the first players off the bench. You had Kevin Huerter starting for Chris Duarte, and you had Alex Len over JaVale McGee. Alex Len played. JaVale McGee did not. So congratulations. Applause for you. You nailed it. Well done.
Yes.
You can hang that one. I'll send you home with this rundown.
The rundown. Yesterday's rundown.
Oh, boy, it's gone.
Called
it. It's long gone. It might still be over there. I might have it in my little stack of papers that I have here.
I don't need the rundown.
So you said that you didn't have any idea that this was going to happen. It's not like you had inside info from Mike Brown that he was going to do this, and so you just said it on the radio and then it happened. That triggered something I wanted to say. You are now in my group of friends. It's a small group that when, like, you get a text message, I'm like,
oh,
What's that say? Like, it's not my business. It's not. But every once in a while, you'll get a text where you'll go like, like, why are you, that noise, that what you just did. Like, what's that? What do you got? You don't always tell me. Sometimes you do, though.
Yeah. I'm like, with my inner circle, I'm pretty, like, I usually am pretty honest about what's happening.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, there's a lot of things that we know that we can't run with.
Right, because you're rumors and
And then,
nature.
Like, in this situation, there's a lot of things we just flat out don't know. Like, I would like to tell you that the Kings are going to go make a deal with the Portland Trailblazers and come back with Malcolm Brogdon. And, hey, look, they got Matisse Thybulle thrown in on the deal. I would like to tell you that's going to happen. I don't know.
Yeah,
like, that's not out there. That's not something like, but I will tell you that this group, they like to play in the media where it's all out there. A lot of things are out there. And then the things that they actually do are not out there most of the time.
Hmm.
And so, like, nobody, like, we had heard that Sabonis and the Kings, you know, was a potential thing. But, like, in December or November, when it was like, hey, the Pacers might move on from Sabonis, and that might be an interesting fit for the Kings. Then it went dormant. We saw nothing. And then, boom. Like, that's how this group works. So, I do think that there's an interesting way that they do business. And, like, it's hard to, sometimes it's hard to read.
There was one time you got a text and you made the noise. And I went, you got to tell me because we're doing show prep. And I'm sitting across from you. And I'm like, bro, you got to let me know what's going on. And it was something about like somebody needed to give somebody a ride to school. I think maybe your son had forgotten his backpack or something.
Oh.
And I was just like, oh, well.
Oh, no, I forgot.
Never mind then.
I drove away with the car with his backpack in the car.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
That's what it was, yeah. And I was like, oh, well, never mind.
Yeah, the wife switched cars.
I didn't need to know that.
The wife said, hey, I need to take the one car to work today. And I said, okay, I'll take the van. I drove the van. I looked down. I'm halfway to work, and there's the backpack sitting in the floorboard. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh, what does that mean?
That's funny.
People in my life like that.
I've drawn up a really fancy numbers thing.
Is good. That's good radio.
That we can walk through in a little while.
Is that for Siakam stuff?
It is for Siakam stuff.
Okay, great. We will get to the Siakam stuff. I want to also talk about the idea of a win is a win.
Yes.
And whether that pertains to this team. But next, I'm going to take you through the seven Kings wins you meet in heaven.
Oh.
I have seven types of Kings win. I have classified each of their games from this year under one of those types of wins, and we're going to go through it next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.